Again, Revelation chapter 13. And last week we started chapter 13, and the Apostle John saw a vision of a beast who we would learn was the Antichrist, who would be given power and great authority by the dragon who we know is Satan. And again, we know this is a time to come in the future with the great tribulation. And again, we should plan on not being there. I mean, it could come. It could come, you know, in our lifetime. But we should plan to not be here. But there's really nowhere we're going to be able to move. But what I'm talking about is being rapture ready. You know, having our faith and trust in the Lord so that when he does come to take his saints out of here before the tribulation, we're ready to go. And because we know there's no rocket that can take us there, that's the only way. And so in verse 2 of chapter 13 we read, I'm just going to read through this. As now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, again speaking about the Antichrist, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. And so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. And then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, and he who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And so we pick it up in verse 11 today. And John writes, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. So again, now we have another beast come into play, who will be known later on as the false prophet, who will we will read about in chapters 16, 19, and 20. And with this addition to Satan and the Antichrist, many refer to them as the unholy trinity, right? Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And we all know there's a holy trinity comprised of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this unholy trinity is a demonic and counterfeit imitation of the godly one. And that's what Satan likes to do. Imitates things and things of God. And the scripture even tells us, right? He masquerades as light sometimes. But this counterfeit imitation of the godly trinity, you know, we see Satan is the false father. And the first beast is the Antichrist, the counterfeit son. And the false prophet is the counterfeit Holy Spirit that will come. And John says he looks like a lamb, a harmless lamb, which many believe refers to him being maybe some type of religious leader. We don't know. But his words are inspired and influenced by who? The dragon, Satan. And again, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, right? Tells us that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And there's going to be a lot of deception going on, just like there is today. Just there was deception in many of our lives before we came to know the Lord. I believe I talked about this last week. Growing up and believing in God, believing in Jesus, but deceived at the same time. Deceived. Knowing God, knowing about God, but not knowing Him. Knowing about Jesus, but not knowing Him. Thinking that's okay. That's all I needed to do was to believe in Him, go to church on Sunday, and live how I wanted the rest of the day. And of course, justify the things that I did. And that's what a lot of people are doing today. And so it's going to be easy for him to deceive even more. But verse 12, John writes, "And he, this false prophet, exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed." So just like the Holy Spirit has power and speaks of and points to the Lord Jesus, right? That's what the Holy Spirit's job is, to point us to Christ. The false prophet would also have demonic power, just like the Antichrist does. And with that power, the false prophet will unify the world and convince people that the Antichrist is a god, in a sense. And he alone is to be worshipped. Now, why would the world worship the Antichrist? Well, as we learned last week, the Antichrist will be wounded and probably die, but he'll be healed and rise again from the dead. So let's read verse 3 again. We read it before. "And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world," what? "Marveled and followed the beast," the Antichrist. "And so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him?'" And so that's what John was speaking of when he said that the false prophet in verse 12 causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Okay? But the false prophet not only gets people to worship the Antichrist, but in verse 13, John says that he performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth and in the sight of men. And he deceives, there's that word, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So we're told that the false prophet will be, again, a man of powerful miracles. And he will imitate the miracles of God's two witnesses. If you remember in chapter 11, let's turn there, Revelation chapter 11. Verse 3. And he says, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth," in verse 5. And it says, "If anyone wants to harm them, Fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. And so we see, you know, the beast doing the same thing that God had done through these two witnesses that he will have during this tribulation. Okay, and so back in chapter 13, it's also through these miracles that he will deceive the world. And he will deceive them into making some sort of image or statue of the Antichrist. Now, is that far-fetched? No, not at all. The Romans, right? They made statues of their leaders, many of them, and their gods, of course, as well as communist Russia and China making statues of their leaders in that way. But the difference we see is that the false prophet was given power to make the image of the Antichrist come alive. That's a different story. You know, you can make a statue of somebody or an image of somebody, but to make it come to life, totally different story. And even speak. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. And Jesus says, and again, he's talking about the great tribulation here. He says, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show what? Great signs and wonders to what? Deceive. If possible, even the elect. Even believers, even Jews. See, I have told you what? Beforehand, Jesus says. He says, this is coming. This time is coming. Back in Revelation chapter 13. Verse 15. And he says, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So supernaturally, this image demanded that everyone had to worship the beast or they would face the death penalty, or worship the image of the beast. And of course, in many countries, treason is a capital crime. So it'll be like that in those days. And this kind of reminds us of King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, if you remember that story. You know, Nebuchadnezzar became very prideful, and he had a giant golden image made of himself. And everyone was what? Commanded to worship that image. And whoever would not, where would they go? Into the fiery furnace. And so that leads us to the famous story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? In the fiery furnace, but yet God protected them. But the false prophet here isn't finished. Verse 16. He says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So it seems that this false prophet will put in place a worldwide cashless monetary system. No more money. Which will require that everyone, no matter who they are, receive the mark of the beast. It'll be a requirement to do any kind of transaction. Now, what might that be? We don't know, but given the kind of technology we have today, and this happening in the future, this mark could probably be a chip implant. They're testing things like that already. In England, you could just put your hand, you know, normally you put your credit card, right, over that device. Now, you in England, they're testing this out. You can just put your hand over it, you know, or something like a digital tattoo, right? And you would need to do that in order to make any kind of purchase or business transaction. And notice, the mark of the beast will be either on the what? The hand or the forehead. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 13 for a minute with that in mind. So remember with the hand and the forehead and where that's coming from, right? So in Exodus chapter 13, verse 7, and Moses is telling the people in verse 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. And it shall be a sign to you on your what? Hand, as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. Okay, so here we have, again, with the hand between the eyes, the forehead. And so back in Revelation, the devil has stolen God's idea of a mark. Now, let's look in Revelation chapter 3. Let's go back there for a moment. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven. And I will write on him my new name. Okay? Remember back in just Revelation in chapter 13, he was talking about you might have the mark of the beast, the name of the beast. And this is what God is saying. He's going to write his name, his new name. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their what? Foreheads. Foreheads. So we see, time and time again, the devil just trying to imitate godly things. And why is that? Well, that was his M.O., Satan's M.O. when he was in heaven, right? He wanted to be like who? God, the Almighty God. He wanted to be like him. And so that's his M.O., to imitate him, but in his own way, in his own evil way. And so again, his mark is a counterfeit of the kingdom of God. And that's because, again, he has always sought to be like the Most High. Now, if you think about it, just 40 or 50 years ago, even when Calvary Chapel first got started in the Jesus movement, even back then, there was a lot of anticipation about the Lord returning. It's kind of waned a little bit now, but it was very strong. You know, people were like, we'd get up in the morning and be like, this could be the day. And it still could be the day. But the thing was, all of this end times were talked about a lot also. You know, these verses concerning the mark of the beast. But we never realized how quickly it would become possible. You know, we're talking about the mark of the beast and how could that be? And you couldn't buy things without the mark. I'm sure it's not just me. You see the things and the way the things are in the world. It's easy to see this happening. Easily. Globally. So easily. You know, with the invention of the internet and all this computer stuff, it's just, and it's going on a wickedly fast pace. Wickedly. And of course, there's a lot of good things about the invention of the internet. I don't have to drive 30 miles to a store. I can just click a button and it comes to my door the next day. That's awesome, because I hate to drive. But we see the enemy. He's in the mix. He's in that computer too, in so many different ways. And he's using people, right? All kinds of things. From pornography to identity theft. All kinds of things. But we didn't realize how quickly these things could come to pass. And the thing we may not realize, we've already been reduced to a number. Right? The Social Security number. We've been reduced to a number. Your driver's license, reduced to a number. And again, with current technology, maybe only be a few short years before this becomes a total reality. The bank I used to go on 6th Street and Broadway here. You can't go in there with money anymore. You can deposit a check or do things like that, but not in the bank. I mean, you could use the ATM, but you can't go in the bank anymore with money. It's got to be some type of digital. And so it's only a matter of time if the Lord tarries. You know, and the younger generation, they're growing up with this stuff. A change into total digital wouldn't mean anything to them at all. And most people, a lot of people, will welcome it. Oh, we're making things easier. Is it? It's more about control, really, if we think about it. I don't know if you know up in Canada, when with the vaccine and all that stuff, up in Canada with the truckers, truck drivers, tractor-trailer truck drivers, a lot of them didn't want to get the vaccine, whatever. And so they were forced to, or else they couldn't work. And so what did they do? They made a blockade. What did the government do? Push a button and closed all the bank accounts. They got these people's names. Boom. Your account is closed. You cannot withdraw a dime. It's true. They put a temporary hold on their accounts. How do you live without money? It's so easy. But again, I'm just saying this because of, you know, where this world is leading up to. And again, never in a million years. You know, and I'm old enough to remember a time where when people talking about cell phones, it's like, get out of here. There's no way. You always need a cord on your phone. But it's coming. So what does this tell us concerning how close we are to the other things happening as well? These other devastating things that are going to come upon the earth as God's judgment comes. You know, a lot of things that are going on are because of Satan. Scripture tells us he's the god of this world. Temporarily, thank God. But God's judgment is going to come upon the world. Totally different story. Totally different story. But taking the mark of the beast is far, far more serious than just allowing people to buy things. Because you see, when that day comes and people make a choice whether to worship the beast and take it or not, they will be making an eternal decision. It's not just about buying things and saying, no, I'm not going to take it. You know, you're going to be making an eternal decision. Let's go to chapter 14. Verse 9. Then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine and the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. He who worships the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Whew. Right? So it's not about just taking a mark. You're making a decision. And God is crystal clear here. There's no doubt about that. And again, that time to you. I have faith. I would hope I would have that kind of faith. And there's many, many, many Christians that have gone on before us. You can read it in the book, The Jesus Freaks. Many, many people, even today, not denying their faith in the face of death. And you're not just getting put to sleep. Horrible deaths because of their faith. Again, still going on today. But again, this is an eternal decision that people are going to be making. And there'll be no turning back. So, that's verse 18. Chapter 13. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. So, we're told that the mark is tied to a number, and that number is tied to the name of the beast. And we're told the beast number is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And I think even people who don't know anything about the Bible, they've heard of 666. It's crazy, right? Out of all the things to know, they know that, not anything else. Not God's grace and his love and his mercy, but 666. But we know why, right? People think it's cool, you know? But for a long, long time, people have been trying with different methods to decipher what the mark of the beast is and who the number 666 represents for a long time. And they do that so they can expose who the Antichrist is or who the Antichrist will be. And we'll get back to that in a minute. But during creation, God rested on what day? The seventh day. Right? So the number seven in Scripture speaks of completion or perfection. Right? And so God is represented by the number seven. Now, if you take God the Father and add the Son and His Holy Spirit, then the complete number would be not seven, but what? 777. Now, the number six in the Bible is the number of man. Why? He was created on what day? The sixth day. Right? And so the number six is short of the number of completion, which is seven. Okay. Now, the Antichrist, as we see in Scripture, may be the most powerful human the world has ever seen, apart from the Lord Jesus. Incredible power and miracles. And if you add Satan and the false prophet to the Antichrist, they all fall short. 666. Now, again, over the years, there's been many thoughts and speculations who the Antichrist might be. People at one time thought it was Hitler. We could understand that, right? Wow. But it wasn't, was it? No. So there's going to be somebody worse than him. Think about that. Think about that. So then we moved on, and people thought that the Russian president, Gorbachev, that he might be him, with things going on at that time in history, and he had this big mark on his head. I don't know if you remember, there was this kind of thing going on in his skin. They thought it was him. And some people have thought some of our presidents might be through these last couple decades. You know, and that's okay to a point. You know. But the fact is, we don't know who the Antichrist is at this time. And with that, since we don't know, I don't think we should be spending a lot of time looking for his arrival. Right? But instead, looking forward to the Lord Jesus' return, not the Antichrist. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Lord to come back. I hope he comes back right now. Again, as much as I love life and different things, and I know I say this a lot, right? God has given us, even among the chaos and the crime and all this stuff, he's given us, you know, good things on this earth. But again, nothing compared. You can't even imagine. You know, and he gave Adam and Eve an earth that was perfect. But it got ruined, contaminated by sin. And we see it. But yet me, in my own little world, I want to make it Eden. I want to make life Eden. Right? We buy the house, we do this and that, and that's okay. That's okay. God gives us things. You know, he blesses us here, even in our sin. But it'll never be. It'll never be. Not here anyway. I mean, it will be. You know what I'm saying? He's got to do a whole new reset. Whole new reset. But anyway, it seems that when Antichrist does appear, the people living at that time will have all they need to know to identify him. Especially those who have and know God's word, like we do. Getting ready to close. Let's go to 1 John, just to the left of Revelation. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 18. And John writes, little children, it is the last hour. He said this back then. It is the last hour. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. And if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. And these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught to you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So there's been many antichrists, small a, since then, and it's very obvious some are working today. And they are the people who oppose Christ and are enemies of the church and of Christians. And believe it or not, there's even people that make a living doing that. That's how much they're being deceived. Trying to get God out of everything in our government. They make a living doing that. It's incredible. Yeah, but we have to remember, right? Who's really in control? This is Satan's the god of this world, but God is ultimately in control. Sometimes I forget that. I'm just looking with my eyes. And last scripture, John, Gospel of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may clearly be seen, and that they have been done in God. So you ever wonder why other religions don't get as much pushback as Christianity and Christians do? It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm online a lot, not a lot, but enough with people and different agnostics or atheists. They don't push back on any other religion like this. And we know why. Right? Sorry, last scripture, Acts chapter 4. They don't get as much pushback. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name in all of creation in heaven. That's why. And Satan knows this. He knows this. But I'll tell you, you know, you can be a Christian for a while, and you've heard the gospel a million times, maybe, depending how long, many times. You know, and with human nature, we get used to things rather quickly, no matter what it is, even sickness and things like that. But that's one thing we never want to get overused to, the gospel and what God has done for us. And I don't like talking about my past a lot, but sometimes I have to go back there to remember what God has taken me from and brought me into. And even through all that time, I'm still a work in progress. I don't know about you guys. Still a work in progress. But thank God he doesn't wait till I get there, because I can't get there. He gets us there. And that's not to we wink at sin. That it's no big deal. It is. Because he paid a heavy price for that sin. So again, it's all about him, right? Amen.